Excellent. Good morning, everybody. Please be seated. Now, I've got a question for you. Do you believe in magic? Well, I've got my special magic jacket. And right here this morning, the 31st of March, 2024, I am going to do a magic trick. Ooh, yes. I'm going to make my son disappear. William. So, before your very eyes, this boy is going to vanish. Right. Let me just get ready. Let's have this side. Oh. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, here we go. 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 Ah! He's not there. He's gone. But as if by magic, he's going to appear right there. Excellent. Bookings available. Okay. Easter. Is Easter a big trick? That's what some people think. What do you think? Today we're going to hear from Mark 16 about that first account of Easter. We're going to think of three words, empty, risen, tell, that are going to take us through it. What do you think of Easter? But now Howard, I think, is going to come and read us from Mark 16.
The Bible reading this morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and we're reading from verses 1 to 8, and it can be found on page 1023 of the Church Bible. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. Jesus has risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away, and they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Sometimes when things are empty, it's really disappointing, isn't it? So, you know, if you've just been given an Easter egg, you're like, "I've got my Easter egg!" You open it up and it's empty. Or maybe you think, "Oh, I'm going to go to the shops and get some money and buy some food or some toys," and your purse is empty. Or maybe you've had a nice time with friends and a bit of a drink, you feel like another drink, and then it's basically empty. And then, of course, the absolute disaster, the after eight box. You go for the after eights, and you go, "I've got, what? Which thief has taken the chocolates and left the bags?" I mean, that's the biggest empty thing, isn't it? You know, and then maybe actually, you know, you're making a cake, and it needs sort of two eggs, so you get kind of an egg, crush it on there, and you get your second egg, and you're like, hang on, empty. But actually, sometimes it's good that it's empty. Maybe, actually, if you get an egg and you think, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, empty. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Or maybe if you... oh, sorry, 1 minute. I need a drink. Thirsty work, this. That's it. Oh. It was empty. It's okay. It's not a problem. Or maybe you have some of these boxes at home. We've got a few. And you think, oh, fragile. Got to look after it. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, don't worry. It's empty. Because actually, sometimes being empty is really good. And in our story today that we heard from Mark 16, the tomb was empty. Mark has told us lots and lots about what happened to Jesus in Good Friday, in Mark 15. He's let us know that Jesus really... Let me try this one. Oh, Jesus really died. Jesus really died. We know that. And now we hear, as the women come to the tomb, they're wondering, oh no, what's going to happen? Who's going to roll? Oh, the big stone away. Who's going to roll the stone away? Now, just as an aside, the way that the stones worked is that they were in a little groove. So you couldn't kind of go behind and push the stone. You had to roll it to the side. And they're wondering, well, who's going to roll the stone away? And they get to the tomb. The stone has been rolled to the side and the tomb is empty. And here's the thing, the first word, empty. The first word of Good Friday, empty. I think that's all right. The first, it's empty. That actually, Jesus has risen. The tomb is empty. Well, not quite empty, actually. Did you hear in our reading? Verse 5, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. It wasn't quite empty. There was somebody there, an angel, and he had something to say. I wonder if you ever watched a TV program called How To. You ever watch How To with Fred Dinage and Carol Vorderman? Oh. Or there was How Did They Do That? There was another one with Des Lynam, Saturday Night. Or a bit more of a younger generation, Maddie Moats, Do You Know? Do you know that one? Done the Maddies, Do You Know? Yes. Well, in all of those TV shows, they're all about how you do things, aren't they? How do the things work? How does stuff happen? Well, I was wondering, thinking, well, if Maddie Moats was doing a TV show called Do You Know About Easter? And she was talking about what happened, what would she do? The tomb's empty. How is the tomb empty? Well, the first way she may go is, oh, well, maybe, oh, I've got my swag bag. Maybe some people came and stole the body. You know, they crept in, moved the small little stone out the way. They took Jesus' body and ran off. Maybe the disciples did that. But you sort of think, well, the disciples were, like, they ran away from Jesus. They're not going to be running after a body. That just doesn't work, does it? Stealing the body doesn't really work. So maybe the body wasn't... excuse me. I need a drink. Good job I've got one over here. Maybe the body wasn't stolen. Secondly then, maybe the Pharisees took it. Now, I happen to have an original outfit the Pharisees used to wear right here. You can tell it's historically accurate. Maybe the Pharisees came and maybe they took the body. But if they were wanting to stop this talk of Jesus being risen, One, they go, well, actually, we took the body and it's over here. But they couldn't do it, could they? They couldn't do it. So that's probably not the case either. So what happened? Well, if you remember in our reading, listen to what the angel said. This is verse 6. He says, don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Look, see the place where they've laid him. See, Jesus really is alive. Now, Christianity, it is not based on kind of fairy tales or figments of imagination. It's based on real things that happened. It's based on facts. And all of those facts are the things which the whole of being a Christian is built upon. And here, we hear that actually that the angel says, look, he was crucified. He really died on the cross. He's risen. The tomb's empty. He's alive. You can test it. Go see for yourself. You see, if you take away the resurrection, this is going to go one of two ways, then either, you see, the whole thing crumbles. If you pull away the resurrection, the whole thing falls down. See, Jesus really died on Good Friday. He really rose on Easter Sunday. And the whole of Jesus' claims are based on that. C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote all the Narnia books, has said, look, if true, Christianity is of infinite importance. If it's not true, it's of no importance whatsoever. What it can't be is moderately important. You can't sort of sit on the fence. It's one way or the other. The resurrection of Jesus means that it's completely true. And you can look into it and investigate it. There was a chap called Lee Strobel whose wife became a Christian and he didn't like it. So he thought, I'm a political journalist. I'm going to go investigate. So he went and chatted to all the bigwig experts about the resurrection to say, I'm going to disprove the resurrection happened because that's the big foundation rock that everything lies on. If I can prove this is wrong, then everything will fall down. But what happened was he went and looked into it. He chatted to people. He investigated. He carefully looked into it. He spoke to people who were Christians and people who weren't Christians. And the conclusion he came to was, it's true. Now, you can look into that for yourself. The book is called The Case for Christ. You can get a copy down at Books Alive. You can Google it. There's a movie you can watch. But actually, why don't even just for yourself just grab some of these at the end? These are copies of the Bible, Luke and John, and read it for yourself. You see, being a Christian is being based on the true fact that the tomb was empty, that Jesus is risen. Being a Christian is not simply, therefore, being right. It's also the best. Why? Well, that will be our third word. Empty. The tomb was empty. Risen. Jesus really is alive. But then lastly, tell. That's that last word, isn't it? See, verse 7, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. But go and tell what? Go and tell that the tomb is empty. Go and tell them that actually that everything he said is true. Everything he said is true. See, that's the amazing news of Easter. That's why this church and churches across the land, not just today on Easter Sunday, but every day, tell of the amazing things Jesus has done. They tell of Good Friday, how Jesus really died on the cross, how he did that for you and for me. we tell of Easter Sunday, how the tomb is really empty. That actually, it means that Jesus won. We tell that we have a God who came from heaven down to earth at Christmas as a little baby, grew up, lived a life, healed people, taught people, died on a cross, rose again, so that we can be friends with God. We tell because we say Jesus did everything he wanted to do. He set out to plant, he finished what he planned. It means that Jesus really is who he says he is. It means that his plan was completed. It means that death is defeated. It means that sin is smashed. It means that our hope is ignited. It means that our future is secured. It means that we have joy today. It means that we're loved unconditionally. We're known personally. We're not alone, not abandoned, not rejected, not despised. We're forgiven. We're free. Because of Easter. That's why we go and tell. We tell of all he's done because the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He's risen. And so this Easter Sunday, we need to tell ourselves that. I don't know what your week is going to hold, what sort of bank holiday Monday and other things happen. What things will be going back to when you go back to school on the 15th or back to work after a bit of a holiday. When you hit the kind of the reality of life. But actually, in those moments, we need to tell ourselves, Jesus is alive. So I've got hope. When I face the rubbish things of life, when I face illness, or when I face difficulty, Jesus is alive. He is with me. He is alive. And as we go, we can tell the world. Maybe this morning, you find yourself as a bit of a Lee Strobel type of character, somebody who just thinks it's just not true. Keep looking. There's evidence. Go get the book yourself. Go read the Gospels. But if you're a Christian here this morning, remember, it's true. It's true. That simple truth. Jesus is alive. You're more loved than you can imagine. You have a hope that will last beyond anything else. You're known, you're loved, you're forgiven. And he will keep you because not even the grave can stop him. Empty, risen, tell. Loving Father God, we thank you that Easter is true. We thank you that it's happened just as you said. It was all in your hands. And Father, we pray that that truth, which we can test and look at, may be one that we cherish each day and hold fast to, even when it hurts. In your precious name we pray. Amen.